Okay, today's daf is Beitza daf Lamed Tes, the second to last daf in Maseches Beitza. We are holding on daf Lamed Ches and Beitza. We're in the middle of a discussion of the last line of the Mishnah, Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph. The Mishnah had said that if a woman lends her friend water, salt, different ingredients, tavlin, and the friend makes a dough or makes a dish with using these ingredients, so according to the Tanakhama, Harei Elu Karagle Shtehen, that dish that is produced is limited to the tchum of both parties, of both the woman who contributed the majority of the ingredients and the woman who contributed the water and the salt and the tavlin. So the Gemara was discussing yesterday, where we left off, was why don't we say that the water and the salt is batel in the larger item, and therefore it should take on the tchum only of the woman who actually made the item. So we're going to start today by giving three more answers or three explanations to that question, why it is that it's not batel. Then we're going to have an Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to explain Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in our Mishnah, who holds that the water, but not the salt, is batel. Why would there be a difference between the water and the salt? Then the Mishnah Amud Aleph is going to talk, the first Mishnah Amud Aleph is going to talk about the tchum of a flame and a coal that the flame may be attached to. And that's going to lead us into Brisa. That's going to tell us five different halachos about kacheles, about coals. Gemara is going to have two explanations: when you are chayiv on hotzas, shalheves on Shabbos, and when you are not. And then the next Mishnah is going to talk about the tchum of mayim in a bar. And when you take water from a well, what is the status of that water? How far can that water be taken on Shabbos? And we're going to have a machlokas in the Gemara. Let's say you fill up water from a well, not for yourself, but for somebody else. Does that water, is that water limited to your tchum, the person who filled it up, or is it limited to the tchum of the person for whom it was filled? And on Ambez, pretty much the entire Ambez is going to be dedicated to explaining Rav Nachman's opinion that the water has the tchum of the guy who was filled for. Why does Rav Nachman hold that? And we're going to get back into Breira. Maybe it relates some way or another to Breira. Okay, so let us begin. We are up to V'tayma Mai, three lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So again, we're trying to explain why is it that salt and water are not batel in the larger item that you made. Why is it that the dish that is produced is limited to the tchum of both parties? Shouldn't we say the salt and the water are batel, and therefore it should only be limited to the tchum of the person who actually made the dish? So the Gemara says three answers. Abaye Yomar, Gzeira Shematasi Isa B'Shutfus. This is a Gzeira that we're afraid that they're going to make a dough B'Shutfus, and they're still going to think it's only limited to the tchum of one of them. So whenever there's any other party that participates whatsoever in the production of this item, we're always going to assume it's limited to the tchum of both of them. If I have a gzeira midrabanan, lest they come to have a more even partnership and think that the same halacha applies, that only the woman who is actually cooking it is the one who matters. Rava Amar, Rava says a different possibility. Tavlin l'tayma avidi v'tayma lo batel. That spices are made to add flavor, and flavor is never batel. If you look at Rashi on V'tayma Mai, on Abaye Amar and Rava Amar, Rashi says V'lo pligi Elamar Shani Isa Umar Kedera, that they're not really arguing with each other, just one is dealing with a dough and one is dealing with a dish that is made in a pot. So but they really would both agree to each other's answers. Now if you look at Tosos says Pirsha Kuntras to Abaye of Taima Isa, meaning that Rashi is explaining that Abaye gives the reason for why it is that it's not batel in a dough, and he says because you might make an isa b'shutfus, you might make a dough b'shutfus. Rava Shani Kedera, when Rava talks about how tavlin is made for taste, and something that's made for taste is not batel, he was talking about when you made a dish. V'lo pligi, but says Tosos v'dochak, it's dochak to say that you have the answer of Abaye and then an answer of Rava, but they're not really arguing with each other. L'chein nira da Abaye Shani Isa v'wadin Kedera. when Abaye says that they might make a shutfus in a dough, it's not dafka that he chooses the word dough, that he chooses the word isa. He means they might have a shutfus in a dough or in a dish or in anything, and they anything that somebody cooks, and they might still think that it's not limited to the tchum of both of them. Shematasa b'shutfus v'rava shani kidei rav u'adin isa. And when Rava says that taima is that tavlin is l'taima avidi, he doesn't just mean in a pot. He means when you make a dough as well. The melchia of taima beisa, certainly salt gives taste into a dough as well. Umayim chashivi de ikar isa nas mimayim. And water is certainly a very significant part of any dough. The ikar of any dough is just flour and water. So that would be very chashiv as well. Then the Gemara has a third answer on the top of Lam Tesam Ralef. Ravashi amar mishum davile davar sheish lamatirin. Bekol davar sheish lamatirin afilu be'alef lo batel. That typically speaking, water, salt, these types of ingredients would be batel in a dish, but over here, the issue is the issue of the limitation of a tchum, and that tchum is a davar sheish lamatirin. Now, all tchum limitations are a davar sheish lamatirin, because eventually Shabbos Yantif will be over, and you'd be allowed to carry it wherever you want. So anytime you have a davar sheish lamatirin, we always assume that it's not going to be batel, even be'elef. So Tosus again raises the question, but didn't we say that a davar sheish lamatirin only applies by min b'mino, and over here it's min b'she'eino mino? So Tosus says, Eino chinami, delo amrino le'el b'min b'mino, v'achal gabi tchum in shayni, t'chamiri ki'ilu havi min b'mino b'alma, kivan d'mamonahu. He says, when we're dealing with the isser of tchumin, meaning min b'mino only really matters when you're dealing with, is there a taste of isser in the food? You're dealing, like we said yesterday, with, a piece of chazer that fell into your chicken soup. So then you have to know, does it taste like chazer? Does it taste like chicken soup? Over here, it has nothing to do with the tam. It has nothing to do with the taste of the item. And it just has to do with the ownership of it. So it's like min bimino, because with regard to the ownership, there's no real difference what the items taste like. But they both have the same status with regard to the ownership. And the other answer Tosa says is that kivan de isa inu nilosha ela al yidea mayim vakder nitkna b'shvila tavlin imkem k'she'irev zebezeh havi ki'ilu minechad. Since you can't make a dough without water, so when you make the dough and it becomes a single unit, so that's considered like min bimino, even though the two major ingredients of the dough, let's say the flour and the water, were contributed by two different people. So you might think that's called min b'sheino mino, flour and water. No, but it becomes min bimino because it becomes a single unit when both critical ingredients are put together. Good, Rabbi Yehuda poter b'mayim. Then the Mishnah had concluded by saying that Rabbi Yehuda says that if one woman contributes water to her friend's dish, that's insignificant. Salt is significant. Salt is still going to be limited to the tchum of both of them. But water is insignificant, so it's only going to be limited to the tchum of the woman who makes the dish, not the woman who contributed the water. So says Gemara, mayim in melech lo, water is insignificant, but salt is significant. Fatanya, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, mayim umelech betelin, bein b'isa, bein b'kadera. According to the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't only say that water is insignificant, he says salt is also insignificant and is batel, and is therefore the dish that's produced is only going to be limited by the tchum of the woman who made it. So says Gemara, so it's a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara answers, it's not a stira. There are different types of salt in the world. Lo kasha, habimelech sedomis, habimelech estrokanis. Melech sedomis is what we would call the typical salt. Rashi says, daki hima'od ubatla. It's a very fine salt that becomes dissolved in whatever you put it in, whereas istrakonis is a salt that's a much bigger chunks of salt, which are not going to be batel. So when Rabbi Yehuda says in the Braisa that salt is batel, he's talking about melech sedomis. When he says in the Mishnah that, or he implies in the Mishnah that salt is not batel, he's talking about these bigger chunks of salt. Now Rashi says, I know for sure that melech sedomis must be daka, it must be small little grains of salt that become dissolved, because melech sedomis comes up in another context. The Gemara Masechus Chulin raises the question, Mipnei ma amru mayim achronim chova. Why is it that we have the chiyuv of mayim achronim, that there's an obligation to wash after a meal before we bench? Mipnei shemelach sedomis yesh shemesameyas he'enayim. Because there's melach sedomis in the course of our meals, that if we rub our eyes, it could blind the eyes, so it's dangerous not to wash the melach sedomis off our hands. So says Rashi, alma daki ma'od v'nidbekes biyad vein enikeres. Obviously, if you had big chunks of salt on your hand, you're not going to rub that in your eyes. It must be that it's very small and it gets almost dissolved into your hands. You don't even see it there, and that's why it's so dangerous. Meaning, one might have thought that melach sedomis must be big and chunky, otherwise, how would it blind you? But no, that's the point. It wouldn't be so dangerous if you noticed it. The things that you don't see are often the most dangerous things. So you don't even realize that it's there. That's what makes it so dangerous. So that's how Rashi explains that the melach sedomis is on the is the one that's the smaller one that becomes batel more easily. V'atanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mayim u'melach betelim bi'isa ve'en betelim b'kedera mipnei rot. First, so frak l'gemara. But wait a second. Rabbi Yehuda says that both water and salt are batel in a dough, but they're not batel in a kedera because of the moisture of the kedera, meaning which means to say that you could tell that there's water in there in a kedera because it has a sauce in the kedera, and yet in our Mishnah it said poter b'mayim, that Rabbi Yehuda thinks water is insignificant, water is going to be batel. Makes it sound like in our Mishnah that both by a dough and by a dish water is totally insignificant, because the Mishnah was talking about both Isa and a Kedera. So how come in the Braisa Rabbi Yehuda says that in a Kedera the water is not going to be batel? Says Merlo Kasha, Haba Ava Habaraka. It depends what type of Kedera you make. Some people make a nice thick chalent, and some people make a very watery chalent. So if you're making a very watery chalent, so then you can't say the water is batel. The water is so clearly recognizable. But if you make a thicker chalent, obviously it has water in there, but it's not so clearly recognizable, and therefore it's going to be batel. Good, so that is the explanation of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now we move on to the next Mishnah. Hagachelas keraglei abaylim. The status of a kol is that it takes on the status of the owner of that kol. Vishalheves bekol makom. But a flame, meaning there's no chiddush in that first line, that hagachelas keraglei abaylim, most things are keraglei abaylim. But the chiddush is, but a shalheves, a flame, an actual flame, is bekol makom. The halach is that it could be brought anywhere. It's not limited to any sort of tchum, when we're dealing with a flame which has no mamashus to it, it has no substance to it. Once we mention that halacha of gacheles versus shalheves, the Mishnah mentions two other halachos of gacheles versus shalheves that are not about tchum Shabbos. Gacheles shal hegdish ma'olin ba, if hegdish owns a kol, so it's subject to me'ila, if one gets hana'a from it, he's in violation of me'ila, so bring korban me'ila, v'shalheves lo nanin v'lo ma'olin. A flame of hegdish, one is not allowed to get hana'a from a flame of hegdish, but it's not subject to me'ila either. So it sounds like it's asr bahana midrabanan. As Rashi points out, shalheves lo nenin lechatchila midrabanan. That as a din lechatchila midrabanan, you're not allowed to get ana from a flame of hegdish. But if you do get ana, one is not chayiv for the carbon me'ila. And then the third halacha, hamotzi gachelus l'roshos rabim chayiv v'shalheves pater. That if a person carries a gachelus out into roshos rabim, he's chayiv for carrying on Shabbos, for tzah on Shabbos. But if he carries a flame out into Rabim, he's going to be pater. So the Gemara starts off with a brisa that just like our Mishnah listed three differences between three cases where gachelas and shalheves are different from each other. So Tan Rabban Chamisha Dvarim Nemru B'gachelas. There are actually five different halachos about gachelas where we distinguish between a gachelas and a shalheves. Mishnah mentioned three of them. The brisa expands on it and mentions five. Number one, Hagachelas Karagli Abaylam Shalheves B'kol Makom. Great, we had that one in the Mishnah. Number two, gachelas shal hegdish molin ba vishalheves lo nanin v'lo molin. We had that one in the Mishnah as well, that gachelas is subject to me'ila, shalheves is not. Number three, gachelas shal avodazara asura vishalheves muteres. So that's a new one, that a gachelas of avodazara is asur to get hana'a from, but the shalheves of avodazara, one is permitted to get hagana from a flame of avodah zara. Number four, a motzi gachelus l'roshos harabim chayiv v'shalheves pater. So that one we had in the Mishnah as well, that that if someone carries a gachelus out on Shabbos into roshos harabim, he's chayiv, but if you carry shalheves into roshos harabim, you're pater. And number five, hamoder ana mechavero, hamoder ana mechavero, asr begachalto umoter b'shalhafto. If you're not allowed to get enough from somebody else, you're not allowed to use his gacheles, but you're allowed to use his shalheves. So, frankly, Gemara, just within this list of five, Maishna shalheves of the Zara Desharia, Umaishna the Hegdish Tasira, if shalheves is mimanafshech, if shalheves is viewed as something that has no substance, that's totally insubstantial, so then shalheves of Avodah Zara makes sense that it's mutter, but why would shalheves of Hegdish be aser? It's not substantial at all. And if you can review shalheves as something that's substantial, so then it makes sense that shalheves of Hegdish is aser, but why would Avodah Zara be mutter? Why would shalheves of Avodah Zara be mutter? So it seems like a stira in the status of shalheves from the halach of Avodah Zara to the halach of Hegdish. So answer the Gemara, Avodah Zara de mi'isa ubedili in shemina lo gazu barabanan. Avodah Zara is something that is disgusting to people, and people typically stay away from Avodah Zara. The Rabbanan didn't need to make a gzera, meaning shalheves is not substantial at all. And really, mikra din, it should be mutter to get anah from shalheves of Avodah Zara and from shalheves of Hegdish. So shalheves of Avodah Zara, we stick with that ikra din, because we say you're allowed to get anah. We're not worried that people are then going to come to use other forms of Avodah Zara. Avodah Zara is ma'us to people. Hegdish to lomas, v'lo b'dili in shemine, gazbe rabbanan. But Hegdish, which is not ma'us, Hegdish is very lofty, and it's something that people are not used to staying away from so much. People don't distance themselves from Hegdish so much, so the Rabbanan had to be gozer that we're not allowed to get anah from the shalheves of Hegdish. Frek Tosfos, wait a second. We have a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim that specifically identifies Hegdish as something that bedelim mimenu, as something that people typically do stay away from. The Gemara Maseches Pesachim says that if you find chametz on Pesach, so what do you have to do? So if it's Chol HaMoed, burn it. But what if it's yantif? So you take a kli and you cover it with a kli, you make a mechitzas or a tefachim around it so that you don't come to forget and to eat it. But im shal hegdish, if it's chametz of hegdish, you don't have to worry, because bedili and shimimenu, you're used to staying away from hegdish. You know that you're not allowed to take hegdish. No one goes near hegdish. So why do we say over here that hegdish is something that people are not badal minei? The Gemara Pesachim says it is something that people are badal minei, and Tosfos gives the obvious answer, which is that when we say badal minei, that is a relative term, relative to whatever we are comparing it to. So when it comes to my own normal chametz that I have in my house, so certainly I try to stay away from hegdish chametz that I have in my house much more than I would my normal chametz throughout the year, because my normal chametz I eat. Hegdish chametz I try my best to be a religious Jew and not to eat, because it doesn't belong to me. But when comparing it to Avodah Zara, what is a person badal from more, Hegdish or Avodah Zara? Certainly Avodah Zara, because Avodah Zara is something that we try as Jews to distance ourselves as much as possible from. Something that we're taught from a young age is very disgusting and very despicable in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So just one or two points over here. First of all, the Mishnah mentioned three halachos. The Braisa mentions five. Why did the Mishnah choose the three that it mentioned? Was there anything about these three halachos in particular that we wanted to identify, that we chose these three halachos? So in the Sefer told us, Yaakov, he suggests that the Mishnah wants to mention these three dinim because through the mention of these of the other two, well, the first one is obvious because that's the topic of what we're talking about now, Tchum Shabbos. So the first one we want to talk about, the Tchum, and whose Tchum it's limited to, or the Tchum of Yantif. So he says, so the Toldos Yaakov suggests that the other two dinim help to emphasize the heter of Shalheves legabe the Yisur Tchumin. Because in the other two cases, the heter of Shalheves is only b'diavet. By Hegdish, lo nen in mimenu midrabanan. Even though it's lo moalin, but you're not allowed to get hana midrabanan. By Hotsah mirushus lirushus, it's also your pater, but it's certainly aser to be melti Shalheves mirushus lirushus, still aser midrabanan. But by the Yisur Tchumin, we weren't machmir at all. So we want to emphasize how strongly we hold this Isur Tchumin. Now the additional two that we add in the Braisa, the din is also mutter lechadchila, and therefore would not have been madgish, and would not have emphasized properly the halacha that we're trying to emphasize in the Mishnah, which is clearly primarily about the issue of tchumen. The other issue to mention over here is that we mentioned the gachelish of avodah zarah is aser, but the shalheves of avodah zarah is mutter. So several rishonim raised the question, the Rosh and the Rashba raised the question, if a shalheves of avodah zarah is mutter, why is it that the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Nunal from Beis, where the Gemara talks about making the bracha of Bore Ma'ore Ha'esh, or Bore Ma'ore Ha'esh, the Gemara discusses what the Nusach is, the Gemara says, but ein mevarchin ala ner shel avodah zarah. You're not allowed to make a bracha on a ner shel avodah zarah. Shalheves is an aser, why can't you make a bracha on it? If a shalheves of avodah zarah is mutter, why can't you make a bracha on a ner shel avodah zarah? So the Rishonim answered that the din of the Mishnah Brachos is when there's a gachelas together with the shalheves. So therefore it's going to be aser. Even though the bracha is not on the gachelas part of it, it's on the eish of the shalheves, but since it's talking about a shalheves that's attached to a gachelas, so one should not make a bracha on an eish of a gachel that's attached to a gachelas. Says in Marvaita now, Hamoti gachelas Rosh Hashanah chayiv shalheves pater. If a person carries a gachelas out to Rosh Hashanah, he's going to be chayiv, but if he carries a shalheves out to the Rosh Hashanah, he's pater. So frankly, Marvatanya, Hamoti shalheves kol shu chayiv. We have a brisa that even carrying a flame out to Rosh Hashanah, a person is chayiv for. So which is it? Do we hold like our Mishnah, like our brisa? So says Mara, Amrav Sheshes, two answers. First answer, Amrav Sheshes, Kigon Sheotzio Bikisein. The case where you're chayiv for carrying a flame out to Rosh Hashanah is where you're carrying a lit match. So you're not just carrying the flame, you're carrying the match as well. So frankly, but then why would we say you're chayiv for the flame? The tepeklem yishum kisem. We should say you're chayiv for the match. The match is what you're chayiv for carrying. It has nothing to do with the flame. And so gemara b'deles leshira. The match is so tiny, it doesn't have the proper shear to be chayiv for. So you're only chayiv for a flame that is made significant by its attachment to something of substance like a match. The match itself, you're not going to be chayiv for, but the flame is granted significance because it's now attached to something. What's the shear of a match? One is only chayiv for carrying wood out to Rosh Hashanah if it's enough wood that you could bake, that you could cook an egg to lightly with that amount of wood, which certainly would not be enough if it's just a tiny little match. Abayi Amar Abayi says, second answer, what's the case where you chayiv when you carry a shalheves, and what's the case where you pata? The case where you chayiv is kigon de shayfe mana mashcha v'itli benura. It's where you rub a flammable material on a kli and then you light the kli. So the flammable material is what's lit on the kli. So since the flame is connected to the kli, you're chayiv for carrying the flame. So again, the Gemara is tepeklem yishum mana. What do you mean chayiv for carrying the flame? You should be chayiv anyway for carrying the kli itself. So answer the Gemara bechaspa. It's not really a kli; it's just a shard. So v'tepeklem yishum chaspa. So you should be chayiv for carrying the shard. B'delas leishira. It's very tiny and not a big enough shear to be chayiv for otzah of the shard itself. The size of a piece of cheres that one is chayiv for carrying on Shabbos has to be a big enough piece of cheres that you would use to separate between beams that you line up in preparation for construction. So in order to keep the beam straight, you put something in between the beams to separate from them, so to separate them from each other. It would have to at least be that large a piece of pottery to be chayiv for it. So you're not chayiv for the pottery, rather you're chayiv for the flame that's attached to the pottery. So wait a second, if any time the flame is attached to anything, you're going to be chayiv, so then what's the case where you're carrying a flame that you're potter? Meaning every time you carry the flame, it's got to be attached to something. How do you move a flame if it's not attached to anything? Says Mark, no, sure you could have a case where you blow the flame out into the Rosh Hashanah, you fan it into the Rosh Hashanah, you have a flame that's lit on the ground, let's say in Rosh Hashanah, and you just blow it, you fan it into the Rosh Hashanah. So you're not carrying any other items into the Rosh Hashanah, it's spreading along the ground. So that's the case where you're putter from moving the flame. There's a tshuva in Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi, in the Lamentas Melachos section of the Har Tzvi in Mavir Siman Aleph, where he discusses Kocho Kegufo Legabe Melachos Shabbos. Meaning, do we assume if, let's say, a person does a melacha by blowing on something, where he's not actually physically moving it with his body, it's just Kocho that's doing the melacha, is that a violation? violation of Melachas Shabbos. So he discusses whether there's a chilek between Melachas Hotza'ah and other Melachos with regard to Kochel. And he writes that in the Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim, it says in the name of the Rambam that Kochel is Mutter min HaTorah, so Kochel B'Rishos Rabim is Asur Midrabanan, but Karmelis is Mutter. And he asks, but wait a second, when a person blows a fire, he's Chayiv Mishum Mavir. So you see that Kochel matters on Shabbos, because if you fan a flame, that's a violation of Mavir. So he says, no, maybe when it comes to a Malacha that they did in the Mishkan, Begufo, they did in the Mishkan with their bodies, so then Kochel would be Pater. So Hotza'ah, when they did in the Mishkan, they did with their hands. So therefore, maybe by Kochel of Hotza'ah, you're going to be Pater. But Mavir in the Mishkan, they would also do Bekochel. They would also fan flames in the Mishkan. So when you fan a flame, you're Chayiv Mishum Mavir. That's what Rav C. Pesach Frank suggests, a chilek between Mavir and Hotza'ah. That by Hotza'ah, since they did it physically with their hands, so anytime you do Hotza'ah, with Kocho, you're going to be Pater. So in the Ha'aros of Rav C. Pesach Frank's grandson, he points out that seems to be against our Gemara. Because our Gemara talks about being Motzi the Shalheves through blowing it, through fanning it. In fact, some of the Rishonim say explicitly, Rabbeinu Chananel says, Kigon Shenafach Bepiv, that you actually blow it with your mouth. That's what our Gemara is talking about. And yet, what does our Gemara say? Why are you Pater? Because what are you blowing? You're blowing a flame. A flame has no substance to it. Makes it sound like if you were to take this pen and blow it from Rosh Hashayachin and blow it out into Rosh Hashirabim, this is substantial. So then you'd be chayiv. The only reason you're potter is because of what you're blowing in our Mishnah, not in our Gemara, not because of the fact that you're blowing it rather than carrying it. So it makes it sound like if you blow something that actually is substantial, that you in fact would be chayiv for blowing such a thing. Okay. The other question that the Rishonim deal with over here is the Gemara said that when the flame is attached to a kli, you should be chayiv mishum the kli. Forget about the flame; you should be chayiv anyway because of the kli. So the Tosfos over here raises the question. Other Rishonim also ask the question that what do you mean you should be chayiv because of the kli? What we should say is that the kli is batel to the flame. That you're not chayiv because the kli is clearly secondary. The kli is only being used as a chitimtza to move the flame from one place to the other, so the kli should be absolutely batel. Where do we get such an idea that legabe the melach of hotza'ah, something can be batel to something else? So it's a beferish gemara, mesecha Shabbos, tafzad gimel and beis, a mishnah, that if a person carries out ochel and pachos mikashir in a kli, you're potter for carrying the kli. Well, you're putter from the ochel because the ochel is pachos mikshir. You're putter from the kli, even though the kli is large enough to be chayef for, but the kli is clearly batel to the ochel. The kli is just your echitimtza to be able to carry the ochel. So the ikur is really the ochel. So whenever you have something that's tafel to something else, you never chayef on the tafel because it's considered to be batel. So why don't we say the same thing over here? That if you have a flame that's connected to a kli and the only reason you're carrying the kli is to carry the flame, so you're not chayef on the flame because it has no substance. You're not chayiv on the kli, or maybe you are chayiv on the flame. That's our discussion with the chayiv on the flame or not. But you're not chayiv on the kli because it's batel to the flame. Why don't we say that? So he says that. So Tosfos suggests that we only say this when the ochel is pachos mikashir, but is at least substantial. That is mamish. When do we say a kli is going to be batel to the ochel? Is going to be batel to something else? That's when the something else, when the ikur is something of mamashus. But when the ikur has no mamashus to begin with, the ikur is just a flame and it has no mamashus. So then we're not going to say that it's batel. We're not going to apply the din of bittel. Okay, new Mishnah. Bar shal yachid karagle ayachid. A privately owned bar, any water that is removed from a privately owned bar is limited to the tchum of the owner of that bar. Vishal anche osayir, karagle anche osayir. But a bar that's owned by the city, that belongs to all the Bnei Ha'ir, that are all the people in the city, so it's limited to the tchum of the city. Rashi says, karagle anche osayir means that it's limited to the tchum of the entire city, the 2,000 amos l'kol tzad, which would mean, even if you have a guy from that city who has his own Eruv, which allows him to carry more than 2,000 amos in one direction, he may not take that water more than 2,000 amos in one direction. It's limited to the normal tchum of the city. And that's what Rashi writes that explicitly in Maseches Erev and Daf Mem Hei, but it's clearly what he means over here as well. The Rashba just asks in Rashi that since midrabanan we hold of Breira, and over here we're dealing with the din drabanan of tchum Shabbos, so why don't we say it's karagle hamimale? Meaning when you have a bar shalanchi also a year, that should be like a bar of shutfin, a bar that's owned by partners. It's just there happens to be a lot of partners in it. Everyone in the city is a partner in it, so it should be, whoever fills up water from it, it should follow his tchum. Why do we assume that it follows the tchum of the city in general? So the Rashba says that what the Mishnah means when it says karagle hamimale here, it means whoever fills up water from it, it goes by his tchum. He's cholik on Rashi. So again, Rashi understands karagle hamimale here means that it's subject to the tchum of the city. And if a person has his own eruv tchumin, which allows him to go beyond the tchum of the city, that's irrelevant. We ignore that eruv tchumin. But in terms of this water, but the Rashba says no, it goes by the tchum of whoever fills up water from the bar. But then what do we say? Shel oli bavel is karagle hamimale. So Rashi says clearly, what does that mean? That it's karagle hamimale. Whoever fills up from it, it follows his tchum. So the Rashba has a problem with that, because Rashi writes, because we're assuming yesh breira. We're assuming that whoever fills that water was destined to be his meyikara, and therefore it took on his tchum. So the Rashba says, if we're relying on breira over here, then whenever in all the sugyas and shas, when we try to prove yesh breira, ein breira, certainly the sugya we just had, why don't we quote this Mishnah as a raya that yesh breira, if we're really relying on breira? This should be a kasha on anyone who wants to say ein breira. So the Rashba disagrees with Rashi over here as well, and he says that the reason for the Mishnah over here is because the chachamim were mamid the mayim of Oli Bavel in the Rishus of all of Klal Yisrael, so everyone is allowed to be memale and to bring in his place, because that this is a special din that the chachamim make for people who are going to be Ol Regel, that the water belongs to that it's in the Rishus of every single member of Klal Yisrael. So it says Gemara Rami Le Rav Rav Nachman Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah Bar Shel Yachid Karagle Yachid, that the bar of a Yachid belongs, the water in that bar is subject to the tchum of that individual. But Uraminu, I'll ask you Stira Naharos Hamoshkin Mayanos Hanovin, if you have rivers and you have springs, Hare and Karagle Kol Adam takes on the status of anybody's tchum, it can go according to anybody, it's not subject to the tchum of the owner. So it says Gemara, yeah, the simple difference. Amar Rabba, Hachamayaskinon b'mechunasin. And now in Mishnah we're talking about water that's not flowing anywhere. So then it's subject to the tchum of the person who owns it. Vitmar Nami Amar Bchia Bar Avin Amar Shmuel b'mechunasin. Water that's not flowing anywhere is subject to the tchum of the person who owns it. V'shaloli Bavel Karagle Amimale. But of water that from wells that belong to Ole Bavel, that are made for Ole Bavel, it's Karagle Amimale. Whoever fills up from it can take it throughout his tchum. So Itmar, what about the following case? Mile v'nasin the chavero. I fill up water, but it's not for me, it's for you. So is it subject to my tchum or your tchum? So Rav Nachman Amar Karagle Mishenis Malulo, that it's subject to your tchum, the person who was filled for. Rav Sheish Samar Karagle Amimale, that it's subject to the person who filled it up himself. So B'maika Mifgi, what is the machlokas about? What are they really arguing about when they argue whose tchum it's subject to? So the Gemara is going to have two possibilities, one now and one right before the Mishnah on Amud Beis. So first possibility is Mar Savar Birudef Kerehu, Umar Savar Biru Deshutvehu. That if you assume that the Rav Sheshes would hold that the bar is considered Hefker, and the halacha is when you pick up a Metziah for somebody from Hefker, you pick it up on behalf of the other person, he is not Kona, because the halacha is since anyone can pick up that Metziah, if I pick it up for somebody else, it's Tofis Balchov Makam Shechov La'Acherim, it's going to cost somebody, everybody, the rest of the world, the opportunity to pick up that item. So that's Rav Sheshes' Shita, that since it's Hefker, I cannot be kona it for the other party, I can only be kona it for myself. And Rav Nachman holds, no, it's Bira de Shutvihu, it belongs to Shutvim, it's not Hefker at all. And if it belongs to Shutvim, when someone asks me to fill up the bar for him, to fill up water from the bar for him, I can do his Shlichus, and when I'm kona it for him. So that's the Machlokas. So Frek the Gemara, Eisvei Rav L'Rav Nachman, so Rav asks Rav Nachman, do you really hold that it's shel shutvim? Harein yalecha cherim hamud arasir. That if a person says, I am a chayrim to you, so the person who's mudar is aser. Hare ata alai chayrim, you are a chayrim to me, then hanoder aser. Then the person who took the neder is going to be aser. Hare ni alech vata alai, if I take a double neder, that I can't get hanor from you, and you can't get hanor from me, so shneim asurim zebazeh, then they're both not allowed to get hanor from each other, or from anything that belongs to each other. But here's where we're getting to the point. Umutarin b'shalolei bavel, but they're both allowed to get hanor from things that belong to Olei Bavel, that are designated for Olei Regalim. Makes it sound like it belongs to nobody. That it's not, it doesn't belong to Shutfin. It's not that they're all Shutfin in it. If they were all Shutfin in it, then they would not be allowed to get Anah from it, because that would be called getting Anah from each other. V'asurim b'shaloseir, and they're also to get Anah from things that belong to the city, because that they certainly are Shutfin in. V'eluin dvarim shal Olei Bavel, what are examples of things that are shal Olei Bavel? Harabayis, Halishchos, V'azaros, Ubar Shalem Tzaderech, and the bar that they have for Olei Bavel. So apparently we're assuming that the bar Shal Olei Bavel is Hefker, that it doesn't belong to Shutfin. If it belonged to Shutfin, they would not be allowed to get an off from it. Ve'eluin Shalosir, what are examples of things that belong to the city? So the Harachava, Ubeis HaMerchatz, Ubeis HaKnesses, well, these are the different communal things that belong to everybody. Ve'yamrit Pirin DeShutfihu, but if you, Reb Nachman, want to say that the bar really belongs to Shutfim, that the bar of Olei Bavel, it's as if everyone has a partnership in it. Am I mutter? Why would it be mutter? Vatnana Shutfin Shinodra no Zemizah Asum Likanis Lchatzer. But doesn't the Mishnah say that Shutfin that take a nedra and from each other are not allowed to go into the Chatzer? So you see that any time Shutfin owns something jointly, it's going to be problematic. So why would you say that it's mutter? The Rishonim say that it's a little odd that we're quoting this Mishnah to prove that Shutfim are Asir. We just had a Mishnah that just told us that that if two people are shutfim, hareini alech v'ata alai, shneim asurim zebezeh, that shutfim are asur with each other. It says asurim b'shalosei ir, and the Mishnah said asurim b'shalosei ir. Why do you think it's asurim b'shalosei ir? Obviously, because shutfim are asur with each other. We really need this other Mishnah that says hashutfim shenadu ana zemizah are asur. So Rishonim are bothered why we even bring this Mishnah. Tells Rishonim points out maybe we just bring it because it's more explicit. But Einachinami, we've already seen in this Gemara from a previous Mishnah that Shutfim are us with each other. But bottom line is, the Kasha and Rav Nachman is a Kasha. How can you say that the Bar Shal Olei Bavel belongs to Shutfim? If it's considered Shal Shutfim, then no one should be allowed to get Anah from it. And yet we see in the Mishnah you're allowed to get Anah from the Olei Bavel. Two people who take a Neder Anah from each other should not be allowed to. Says the Gemara, Lirchutz B'Bar Achinami. It depends what kinds of Anah you're talking about getting from the Bar. If you're talking about bathing in the bar, where you're using all of the water of the bar at one time, so then in a chinami, you're using everybody's water, including the person you took a neder not to get anah from. But vachamayaskinu lemalos, but over here we're talking about where you're just taking some water out of the bar. Mar midide kamimale. Well, then we could assume breira, that when I take water out of the bar, I'm not taking your water out of the bar, I'm not allowed to get anah from you. I wouldn't take your water out of the bar, I'm taking my water out of the bar. And we assume breira, that whatever water I take out of the bar was assumed to be mine the whole time. So that's why Rav Nachman holds that you're allowed to take from the Olei Bavel, even though it is Shel Shutfim, but you're allowed to take the Olei Bavel because he relies on breira. So says Gemara, really? V'sav Rav Nachman yesh breira? Does Rav Nachman hold of breira? V'atanan, we have a mission that seems to say otherwise. Ha'achin ha'shutfin kishay chayavin bekalbon peturin mimayser behema. The halacha is that when a person has to give a machsa shekel, and the chacham say that a person, that when you're giving machsa shekel for karbanos hatzibur, you should give a little bit extra for money changing fees. So you give a little bit extra, a little bit of a processing fee when you give the machsa shekel. Now, if two shutfim decide to get together and they're going to give a shekel shalem instead of a machsa shekel, then they still have to give two kalbons. They each still have to pay a processing fee. But let's say a father gives a full shekel for his two sons. So then he only has to pay one kalbon. He doesn't have to pay two processing fees. He only has to pay one. He doesn't have to pay both, right? Because it's considered to come from one tefisas habayis. It's not coming from two different people. It's coming from the father on behalf of both of his children. They're all considered to share the same money. The halacha by ma'aser behema is the opposite. By ma'aser behema, a person is chayv ma'aser behema only so long as you don't have a shutuf, as long as it's all yours. So if the father owns owns a whole bunch of animals, no matter how many children happen to have a share in those animals, but if it's all in one tefisas habayis, it's going to be chayv ma'aser behema. Once you split it and everybody is shutfim, then it's going to be potter from ma'aser behema. So the definition of a shutfis is when they're chayv in the kalbon, which means that they are not one tefisas habayis, they're viewed as separate individuals, then they're going to be potter from ma'aser behema. Chayv ma'aser behema, but if their deal is that they're chayv in ma'aser behema because it's viewed as one tefisas habayis, then pater min hakalbon, then they're going to be potter from the extra kalbon. That's only if the way they divided the father's estate is by one party taking the gedim, the other party taking the tlaim. But if they divide all the gedim in half and all the tlaim in half, we say whatever I have was what was supposed to be mine as part of my Yerusha. Rav Nachman Amar Afilu Chalku Gedim Kenegedim Tlaim Kenegedim. Ain Omer Zeh Chalko Magiyo Mishar Mishon Lekach. Even if they divide everything perfectly evenly, we don't say Breira. We don't say it's Huvra Adavra that this was really his Yerusha the entire time. So you see, Rav Nachman doesn't hold of Breira. So how can we say that Rav Nachman is relying on Breira when he allows you to get Anah from the Bar of Ole Bavel? We see Rav Nachman rejects Breira, so that can't be the explanation. So now, because of that, we reject the entire explanation of why Rav Nachman held that you're allowed when someone asks you to fill water for them that they're the ones that are kona the water. So Ella, it has nothing to do with whether biradef keruhu or biradeshut fihu. Ella de kuli alma biradef keruhi. Really, everyone agrees, and this is the second explanation of the machlokas samaraim, that the bar belongs to hefker. Ella hacha b'magvia metzila chaveru kamiflegi. Over here, they're arguing about picking up a metzia for somebody else. Mar saver kano, mar saver lo kana. The question is, can you make a kin on behalf of somebody else when you're picking up a metziah? The water is all hefker. So the opinion that says that when you're drawing water for someone else, that someone else's kona holds a magbia metziah lechavero, kona chavero, that you could be kona for the other party. And the one that says that your kona holds a lo kona chavero. You can't be kona for the other party. That's the simple way of reading the Gemara, but it's much more complicated than that with Rashi, Tosfos, two other days, but we don't have time for that right now. Okay, we'll pick up from the Mishnah, and then we'll try to finish the Masechta tomorrow.